tents and stuff, and then put it back in my backpack and never film myself.
So it's just, I think it's just going to record all this. I'll put it just a little bit over here.
China's in.
Yeah.
Alright.
I'm going to keep the music on. I don't care if it picks it up. I'll try not to do too much of this, which I'm often guilty of. I'm usually like, whee! Alright, so anyway. Alright, so when we look at the trailer, Ben, you've seen the trailer,
yes,
obviously.
Yeah.
So we have a couple effects, specifically one that we used in there, which is pretty arresting. This is what we call the ghost clone effect.
Right.
This is, you know, when someone's leaving a trail of images behind them or going into sort of these frozen stills of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious to imagine how you could use something like that. So what I see is having an effect where someone is looking at an obstacle and the narrator is saying something along the lines of, you know, when you come up to something, you can, instead of seeing a problem, you know, you can see all these different possibilities.
Okay.
And then showing somebody, you know, running towards it. And he's sitting there and he's just contemplating it, mm-hmm. and having, you know, like a semi-transparent version of himself sort of running up towards something, or just little clips of him, you know, like maybe interacting with one obstacle one way. And if it's linear, another obstacle another way, another obstacle another way.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually showing him as he goes and moves to that space and does those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are all sorts of cool things you can do. So that one, I think that you can sort of imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Another one, and feel free to chime in whenever. I'm just going to go through these and kind of tell you what I'm thinking. And
yeah, I think that one in particular would look really good with like long sweeping frames, motions like large jumps or something where you have the person like covering a distance. But I mean, alternatively, even just moving through a small space in a lot of different ways could look really interesting with all of the frames out there.
Definitely. One of the things we're thinking about, have you heard of M.C. Escher?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. One of his coolest pieces is this big room,
mm-hmm.
and there's a bunch of staircases.
Right.
And they're all sort of upside down and backwards and bizarre.
Yeah.
And you look, you're like, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. One of the things we want to do is we want to do this sort of ode to M.C. Escher. So imagine this wall right here. Look at that. And so maybe this wall, whatever. And so when you look at this wall, instead of just seeing a wall, you know, what could be on it? And what I see is, you know, there's someone standing sort of sideways on the wall, facing up as if that was the ground.
Okay.
And maybe there's somebody with a single foot planted on the ceiling. And this is all at the same time. Maybe there's somebody who's sitting on the wall facing down.
Okay.
Maybe there's somebody who's rolling on the wall, right? In sort of a position that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they've got one hand against the wall and they're like flipped upside down. So how can we present these still figures in a way that looks like gravity no longer exists, right? Where the sort of the restraints of the normal world, they're not there anymore, not for this person.
Right.
And the idea that while we may see a wall, what the athlete sees is all these different perspectives. And to show that, it's such a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Right. You look at this wall and you see all these frozen clones. You're like, what the hell? How did they do that? And then you show them, well, they'll actually go and they'll do the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll go and they'll actually collect all of their clones. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And so you're planning, the way you're imagining this is not using any kind of tricks as far as, like having like an upside down room or
nothing. Like, actually, yeah.
Just having people do something on the wall, but capture a frame where it looks like they're.
Right.
Like where gravity's not affecting them or something like that.
And there's some things we know of, like we know there are things like palm flips, right? There are things that are like, you can run up a wall and
run up a wall flip.
Yeah, there are other things like Jacob was just showing this crazy thing that he learned how to do. I don't know if you've already seen this from him, but he runs up a wall and he will roll up the wall.
Yeah, actually Paul and I have been working on that at the gym.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he it's really funny. Whenever somebody like tries out something new, like everybody is always doing that around the same time. It's kind of
the collective subconscious.
Yeah,
it totally is.
Yeah, and eventually, like somebody will have a video of it, or like two or three people will come out with a video of it. But it usually, yeah, like the people in the communities are doing those things before they haven't used them before.
Yeah,
yeah,
isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, no, that would be cool. Yeah, there's a video of another guy, Andrew Cavado. He was doing it on some, I think it was like a big concrete sphere.
Yeah.
And he was rolling up the sphere and like coming out of it or into a backflip or something.
What?
Like that. He would roll up it, and then once his feet would plant on the wall, he would do a backflip up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. But that's a lot easier because the sphere rounds out on top of criminal sciences.
Oh, it's all good, man. If you gotta take it, take it. So the thing that you and Paul are working on, what does that look like?
Well, it was just, we were just at the gym, and it was basically, so yeah, it would be like, I would approach the wall like this, and you do, it would be a shoulder roll like you do on the ground, where you roll from your shoulder to the opposite hip.
Yeah.
It would be up the wall, so it would be like a jump. Roll up, and then kind of twist out of it, and then hopefully get back on your feet.
That
most of the times
ridiculous.
We would fail.
Yeah. That's actually slightly different, because,
we do a twisting turn at the top.
What we do is you would actually roll along the wall and then get, like, basically continue the roll onto the ground.
Oh, so okay, so like yeah, so kind of like roll into an arc.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And then come out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that
is sort of what we were, yeah, we just, like, neither of us had ended up landing it. We were just kind of going into the wall and popping out of it. And it was
cool.
Just, like, one of the things we were playing around with at the gym.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of anybody doing it, but.
It was so cool. It's when you talk about this stuff, you're imagining, you're like, what? Because for you, it's normal, but for most people, this is unfathomable. They could never imagine this. If you put them in a room for a million years, chances are they would never think of this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so novel, not in the way of like novelty, right? But it's something that they've never even thought of.
Yes.
I think that, you know, if we can capture this right and get it in front of enough eyeballs, we're really going to open a lot of people's minds. It's going to be like, what?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
The vision is, it's a really important part of what we do. And I try to explain this to new people because they already feel the vision, like they start seeing the stuff, and usually it's the big stuff that they see, and it's kind of discouraging for people because they start out training and they're driving around in their car or whatever, and they see like a building and they imagine themselves jumping across this giant gap or whatever, this big huge thing, but they never see the stuff that's really within their range.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to see the smaller stuff and to see the little lines in the ground and those things. So that you have these guys who want to be really good, but they don't really see it takes time to develop the vision. Like I was explaining to some people at Balboa Park, and it's a great place to train. There's so much stuff to do there. You could train there for years and always find something new.
Yeah.
But the first year of my training, I was myself and the group of people I was with, even Paul, we were just like, we need to go find other places to train. This place is boring. There's nothing else to do here. And we had really like felt like we had run out of stuff to do, and it was really just our vision.
Yeah.
And you go on a trip, you go train with other people, and you kind of like break outside of that box and come back to your old stomping grounds, and you see all this new stuff. And every time I come back, I see something new.
I love this idea of never being able to be bored, because there's Nietzsche has this great quote. Oh, it's phenomenal. What is it? It's is life not a million times too short to ever find ourselves bored? You know, because and that's the thing is, you think something is just whatever, but it's because you have a lack of creativity. And when you look at it again, you're like, wait a second, I bet.
Yeah, there's always something deeper.
And then there's if you have somebody with you, right? That's sort of at a similar level, then it gets interesting because you'll do something like, oh, but did you think about this? And you bring these two perspectives together. And
I think a lot of the growth happens that way. I mean, some people, they don't ever get out and train with other people, and they kind of stay stagnant. But it is really important to train with other people. And I think that's where the team mentality comes from. People who, they really feel like when you're part of a team, you have a good reason to be out there and be pushing somebody and be pushed by other people.
Yeah. Do you find that styles start to emerge?
I think that the styles actually are there in the beginning. Most people come from whatever their background is, and then they build on top of that.
Yeah.
So I see people who are just like gymnasts, and I see very little parkour happening for the most part for the first year of their training. They're doing gymnastics outside before they start seeing the potential and kind of working off of what they started with. Because a lot of people feel, so many people that I talk to who've been training for a long time, they really feel like parkour is something unique to them, something that they've been doing their whole life. They feel like everyone has a personal, there's something personal about it.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from our backgrounds and our experiences.
Well, when we're kids, right, what do? We jump on tables, we jump on couches.
Exactly.
We hide under beds.
And it is that, like, we reclamation of your childhood.
That's scary. Yeah. You know, I was in the Bangkok airport on my way from Thailand to India. And it's like 4 a.m. and everyone's exhausted who's in the airport, right? I'm like sitting there in this lounge, like, oh God, what is that noise? And I look over and I hear this kind of, and I look over and I realize that noise, it's kids, and it's 4 a.m. and they're just bouncing on these set of chairs. They've set up these chairs, they're like pushing together, just bouncing, having a great time. And the dad's asleep, right? That's why the dad's like, and the corner like, whee! You know, having a great time. And then the dad wakes up, you know, he's, get down from it. And they all get sad, and they all get off, and they sit there. It's like your kids are expending energy. They're having a great time. They're going to be a lot less rambunctious and cause a lot less trouble if they're exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, let them play, you know? Yeah.
And maybe they'll never be obese. Like, yeah, yeah. Maybe they'll save their lives rather than playing some fucking chairs.
Coming back from India to here, it's nuts how big the average American is.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
I know.
I'm not a skinny mini myself, but like, look at it. It's like some of these people, they can't even like put their hands by their sides. They could start a fire if they tried to run, you know? They're like, they have to move like this. It's wild.
Yeah, I see a ton of children. Like, I mean, when I go to these parent-teacher things for my daughter, and like most of her classmates are what I would consider overweight, like for the average adult. And these are children, and their parents, I mean, the kids are not this way, like, on their own accord. I mean, I guess they are. It's kind of like a lack of restraint. But I think you're also teaching them these things.
And it's normal, right? If you're growing up in it, it's normal. But, like, normal is so fucked up for the average American.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, and that's just, like, talking about, like, how they, what they eat and whatnot. But then the attitude of don't jump, don't climb, don't do this and that, like, discouraging them from actually doing things that are good for them is really ridiculous in my mind.
Oh, it's so crazy. You know, it's so much worse than just don't do that. It's it's like this idea of be as much like everyone else as possible.
Oh, yeah.
It's nutty. We were in L.A., which is just a bad-feeling place in general the other day. I didn't do well in L.A. Ben can attest to that. So he says it makes me much more quotable because I'm very upset saying unpleasant things. But anyway, so we're there and we're listening to this woman on the phone, and it's so funny. She's on the phone, right? And she's talking to her nephew or her niece, and she's like, now, if we go out, I don't want you moving around. I want you sitting still because you make me nervous when you start moving around. And it's like, whoa, homeboy can't even like move around. He can't fidget. It's a kid, right? Yeah. Kids have got tons of energy. What do you even do? Like put him in a sugar coma and just like keep feeding him?
Especially if it's a boy, like there's been not like, I don't want to be political or anything, but there's been kind of a feminization of the way that you were supposed to raise children, where, you know, boys like to hate each other and run around. And, you know, not all boys. Like, I was a scaredy cat kid that I had to sit there and do nothing. But most guys, the general perception. Yeah, you know, and it's whether or not it's, you know, I think there was the notion that it was something that was socialized, so like it wasn't built into boys. It was like that's what they were taught.
Right.
But I think it's kind of been clear that that's wrong because you're teaching them. You're trying to teach all kids just like these, you know, be non-competitive, to be, you know, respect authority, to be peaceful, right? Mm-hmm. And like just doesn't work until you get the middle in. and then, you know, they're messed up.
Unless they do lots of exercise and they're exhausted and they're like, dude, I'm too exhausted.
Yeah, there's just no opportunity for that.
And the endorphins are kicking, so like I'm exhausted and I feel phenomenal and I'm happy.
And, I always feel great after like running around. It's a necessity. It's become a necessity.
Yeah, isn't that wild? The way that you can hack your body. Like if you're not feeling so great, you can actually go do something physical and you will feel better.
Yeah,
like the mood will be lifted.
Yeah, your brain releases these endorphins and you just. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when I'm just eating right, when I'm on a routine, I'm waking up early, drinking a glass of water when I get up, and just doing my, like, preparing my day the way that I like to, I always have such a better day than when I'm just brushed into whatever my schedule is and not prepared, not physically prepared.
And it seems like this entire thing is so satisfying on a deep and personal level. You've got a community of people that you deeply connect with about a subject that you're really passionate about. Mm-hmm. You're exercising, you're getting this huge dump of endorphins, mm-hmm. you get to overcome certain fears, and you get to grow. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing all these things that are so satisfying on, like, a deep, visceral level.
Yeah.
And you look around, and you start to wonder, are all these other people feeling satisfied with their lives? Because often you hear, oh, I'm so depressed, I hate my life. It's like, what are you doing that's satisfying? Nothing. I don't do anything that I like.
So that's probably a good indicator of why you're so depressed.
Yeah, I think it's such a marvel that, you know, every athlete that we have gets so much profound joy out of what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, profound, meaningful joy.
Yeah.
Like, meaning of life joy.
It's true.
It's never common in society because, I mean, we treat depression like a disease. We better give you some medicine. And not like Tom Cruise, like, oh, the fucking evil, you know, pharmacy, trying to control our brains, or, you know, whatever the Scientologist line is. But, you know, generally speaking, if you're depressed, it's because there's something wrong.
Yeah, and it's a signal.
Maybe you should deal with that instead of dosing it.
Trying to,
animals get depressed when you put them in cages where they get shocked continuously and can't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That depresses them. Like, you know, humans are depressed. Maybe if you take them out of the cage, they feel happier.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, so I was working for Microsoft, horribly depressed. Like, just horribly depressed. So unhappy. Mm-hmm. Left Microsoft.
Yeah. I finally went and read your blog about I heard you talk about it and stuff, and I was on the phone with you, obviously, when you were in India doing all of that stuff, but I didn't really understand the whole...
for dealing with those crummy connections.
Yeah, no. It was not a problem at all.
You read the blog and...
Yeah, no, that was really interesting. It was really fascinating. Like, I had no idea, like, how you had gotten into all of this stuff, and I think it's really cool. I admire what you're doing. I wish I could do something awesome like that.
Well, you are.
Well, yeah, it's different, obviously, but yeah, no, that's cool.
Well, we're collaborating on the same epic project, you know?
Yeah.
What did we call it the other day? It's a labor of love. You know?
Yes.
And I think that everyone who's a part of this project and everyone who sees the project, I think it'll sort of brighten up all of our experiences while we're here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about, man. Just surrounding yourself with talented people you admire and collaborating on epic projects.
Definitely. Yeah. I've been really excited.
People outside of it also respect that sort of, you know, people will receive the project, I think, well, if it's actually done with that sort of
it's like mama's cookies tastes extra good because they're like cooked with love.
Yes.
And they don't have,
my mom did
corn syrup.
She was kind of strict, but I hear that it's like that. It's a secret ingredient,
extra good loving cookies.
Yeah, there's something about that. No, when like when it's a labor of love, it's the final product is just a little better. So anyway, so I want to dive back in and tell you about some of the other things that we're thinking of.
Sure.
Another effect that we're going to use pretty heavily, it's a variation of the ghost clone effect, and we call it the firework effect.
Okay.
And so when you see a firework, you'll see a trail go up, and it will explode in multiple directions. In the same way, imagine an athlete running, and then all of a sudden, as they jump, they flip, they roll, they do a flip left, a flip right.
All of the different possibilities of direction that they can move.
Exactly, from a single point. Cool. Sort of blossoming outward.
So yeah, like the same idea of having all of the frames, but they're all moving out from one point along a path.
Yeah, and they're all moving. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I like that. Sounds cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we were to think about doing something like that, how do you think that we could capture some possibilities from something like a standing position?
The way that I'm imagining it, just right off the bat would be, somebody doing like different sets of flips off of a ledge or something, like somebody standing on a ledge over the sand or whatever. Cause there's a bunch of different combinations of flips that you could do from that one point. And visually they'd be in one position and then moving out in different ways. I wouldn't be ideal for that cause I have a limited, list of tricks that I can do. I can do front flips and side flips and gainers and,
gainers are scary. I don't know how you guys do that. Those are horrifying.
Yeah, I don't really do them outside mostly because of the mental aspect. Anytime I do it in the gym, I get plenty of distance away from the object that I'm on.
Yeah.
But just, like if I'm standing on a concrete wall, even if it's over sand, I just see myself hitting the concrete and not moving away from the wall. And I know that I will because I've done it hundreds of times, but I just, I've never gone outside and made myself.
Yeah.
Do that, so.
Yeah, I love the idea of collaborating about, sort of what the group can do, but I also am very interested in specifically like let's think about how we would use these shots to showcase your philosophy.
Okay.
And how you approach it.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. Most of what I do, I mean, I've been working on trying to extend, most of what I do is like in short bursts.
Yeah.
Usually runs from one place to another. And
huge jumps.
Yeah, I do a lot of large jumps, and drops, and, I can get over big walls. And, mostly what I've done is I've taken, basic foundation of all the different movements in parkour, and I've just progressed to like whatever extent I've been able to as long as I've been training.
Yeah.
I haven't moved too much outside of those barriers. Like the flips and stuff that I know I learned before I did parkour.
Okay.
So, yeah, like all of that stuff, all the acrobatics I did before parkour.
Yeah.
And since then I haven't done very much, but if I'm in the gym and I'm feeling like it, I'll start doing stuff, but it's, those were things that were, I felt like they were separate.
Yeah. One thing I want to call out is that this is very much about you, right? Mm-hmm. There's no pressure to do any specific type of activity. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we collaborate, I just want you to feel like whenever we're in any space, move in whatever way you feel is like most natural. And there'll never be any pressure.
Cool.
Like, do a front flip.
Yeah.
Do it. Right here. Make it big. Hurt yourself. No.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't feel like it was going to be like that. Most of that type of pressure comes from when I'm training with, just the groups that I'm training with. If I'm with a group of people and the majority of what they're doing is a certain type of movement, everyone tends to do those things, or it's kind of an internal pressure.
Right.
Like everybody's doing something off this obstacle. You want to show that you can do what they're doing at least, or something different. And, so, I mean, that's kind of the type of pressure that,
I'm familiar with that one. Yeah. Like somebody drops in on a big ramp and like does something. You're like, all right, I want to play, you know, and
yeah.
You drop in. You're like, all right, you have like some camaraderie and you're sort of sessioning the spot and everyone's sort of amped up off of each other. And,
yeah.
Seeing like how big and
that's about the extent of the competition and the internal. I mean, there's also, I get a lot of internal pressure from, well, for one, I've been camera shy in the past. If I'm around a camera and I'm thinking of stuff that I can do, like sometimes I feel pressured on myself. Like I'll see something, like, man, I know I could do that. I should do it today because the camera's here or whatever.
Yeah.
And then like, because I'm pressuring myself, I'm less likely to be able to do it,
right.
Which is really
That's
disappointing.
Totally normal. Well, I mean, dude, I do that all the time. Like, I go up in front of crowds all the time and talk, and it's horrifying, but that's part of the reward, right?
Yeah.
It's like, the adrenaline starts creeping in with the fear, right? But the adrenaline, and eventually, like, when it's all said and done, it's like, ooh, I got the adrenaline, you know?
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah. But, we're so easy to collaborate with, and we can do all sorts of things. We can just start shooting to sort of get the feel for, like, that relationship of being in front of the camera, because it's a weird fucking thing, dude, and we totally understand that.
Cool.
And so, maybe before we start like principal photography, we'll just go muck around, you know, we'll have the camera out there. I think that the way that we're going to film this is we'll probably start off with smaller groups at a specific spot and we'll be like, okay, we're going to go to this specific spot and here are the one or two people we're going to be filming and we'll probably set up a shot because this takes a lot of planning, right?
Yeah.
So we'll set up a specific shot. We'll be like, all right, we're going to try to do the ghost clone effect on this and here's what we're thinking and we'll set up a shot. And then the person will go through it a couple times. We'll feel that we've got it good. And then if we're going to stay at the same spot, we might get the other person to do it. So, in that way, it's not like a camera's just following everyone, right? It's like, it's very sort of planned, like, hey, you know, just heads up today. We're thinking, you know, it'll be you and Paul and Paul will, you know, go first and we'll sort of give you guys like 10 minutes to sort of warm up and we'll be like, all right, Paul, we're going for this very specific shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then not until we have the very specific shot, then we'll be like, all right, so now we're going to do the next thing.
Okay.
So that style, I think, is very different than what's normally shot, where it's just a camera kind of running and grabbing. And,
That sounds totally cool to me. I think that it shouldn't be an issue. I don't think that I'm going to be too good at planning out a lot of stuff beforehand until we really get to spots.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the notion is that we'll spend some time in a spot. There's a couple of different sorts of spots, like, we should get to that.
Well, yeah, that'll be next, right, after we go through, yeah. But, did you wanna?
Yeah, just where it's not like, we weren't planning on having anything really fleshed out before we got there. Wanna go and, like, you know, see the spot, have play around it. We'll
see
bit.
What we're going to do.
And then, and like, kind of
well, this will look really good for this or that. Or...
Right, because the movie's not about, let's, like, get this place and then have people do cool stuff on it. It's about how do you move through a place. Mm-hmm. And so it's about finding, you know, that natural motion and just capturing that, not forcing it into a different kind of area. Yeah.
Cool. So, okay.
Yeah. Really what we're hoping to do here is more help you really understand our style, mm-hmm. both our work style and our visual style. Because we've only shown a little bit of our visual style. We've got some really interesting tricks up our sleeves.
Awesome.
And we want to let you know what those tricks are, you know, and talk about sort of like our approach and just make sure everybody feels really comfortable with how we're moving forward. And just, I want everyone to be in the loop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like, all right, we're filming today, you know, we're going to drive 30 miles out here, see there. Because that's just weird. And it's not fun. You're not collaborating, you know.
Yeah.
You're just barking orders.
Yeah. Cool. Well, no, I've really enjoyed. I mean, you guys have been really receptive to any input. And,
yeah.
I'm sorry I haven't had more input.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's just I'm like I said, it's not as easy for me to plan out what I'm going to do, but when I get out to a location or whatever and start moving, it'll all definitely come together for me.
Yeah, and we'll probably have, you know, one or two athletes we're filming that day at that spot, but we can always bring other people to encourage us and sort of bring the energy up, you know, so.
Sure.
All about that.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'll call out to the people that come to is just said, like, you know, you guys may be doing amazing stuff, but we're very focused on capturing very specific things here.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody comes along, maybe you could help set the expectations. Like, you may be amazing, but like, we're very focused on capturing certain things in these places.
Sure.
Just because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know? Like, doing amazing stuff, we're like, sorry, blind.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying. No, that's kind of what I was imagining was something we would go kind of do a session. You guys would more or less like record the, find something that you liked and focus on that. And I mean, I'm just happy to be out training either way. So
brilliant.
And I'm not a camera hog or anything.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about all the athletes is you've got like great attitudes and chemistry.
Yeah. And it's really happened naturally. I mean, it's strange because everybody comes from their different backgrounds and like Paul and I are 15 years apart or something.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean,
wow,
he's closer to 10, because I guess he's 19, I'm going to be 29 this year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I hang out with him, like, on the side, and it was a little weird when I first realized that I was hanging out with somebody so much younger than me, because the majority of my friends are my age or older, so.
Well, it's just trips around the sun, Paul specifically, he's got that phenomenal attitude, very easygoing, nice to be around. Just brings the energy way up, you know. It's a wonderful spirit.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and I enjoy hanging out with him and training with him a lot.
So. Yeah, and he's got his own perspective. You know, he's actually like contributing to the ideas, you know, in the sort of philosophical pot of conversation, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah, and that's most of the people that I've been in contact with, like, have been pretty open to. The philosophy and the history and stuff, which are the things that I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
I know that I'm more interested in those things than a lot of people. That's been one of the things that I've really pushed just in the online communities. Just anytime a newcomer comes and I say, hey, check out the Wikipedia page to learn about what parkour is, the history of it, this and that. And
let's dig into that during the podcast. I think that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Another thing, I mean, I was thinking, I don't know visually for my segment or whatever, how interesting it would be, but to get some of the conditioning or some of the training beyond just that stuff, beyond just the performance aspects, I think would be cool.
Absolutely. So the way that we look at this is we look at this project as a universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the different media that we're creating, the film, right, is just one lens into that universe. Because we're all real people who are real, have real lives, and we're actually doing a real thing. And so, while the biggest lens, this movie, right, mm-hmm. is the thing that most people are going to hear about and see, we're also recording media to put out there in other ways, like podcasts and mini magazines of just artwork and production stuff and behind the scenes and, you know, any content that we can create to help people get another lens into this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Spoken words, blogs, podcasts, you name it, we are all about it. Because it's, you know, we're storytellers at the end of the day. We're not just creating a story, right? This is where we're creating lenses to the broader spectrum of people so that an audience member, maybe they hear about the film, maybe they hear about the podcast, but we want to create as much information that's interesting to people as possible. Because we want people to know our stories, right? And not just our stories individually, but sort of the, what happens in the, that middle spot where it's people are collaborating, they're coming together, because that's a really special space to play in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so having stuff like talking, it's, you know, something that gets more into depth on the training stuff specifically, like, and gives people some insight into how you prepare for it would be really useful. Because mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's a story and then it might actually inspire people to get into, you know, using their bodies more, hopefully. And right. having something like that when you kind of dig your teeth into initially would be that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like, whatever you guys want to, I mean,
once we start with photography, we'll, and any day we have available, yes, we'll film. Anything you want to film, let's go.
Okay.
Let's go, 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 go. And that's basically middle-ish or near the end of August mm-hmm. to the middle of September.
Okay. Yeah. I was a little worried at first, like, about the whole Burning Man tour, just as far as, like, how I'd be able to hold up for the whole week of training
rough,
all the time
yeah.
in the desert with the heat and everything.
Oh, it's killer. Yeah.
No, we were, like, there's no way we, I mean, even if, like, we were there all week, like, we weren't planning on shooting, you know, like,
just nonstop,
yeah,
continuous.
Like,
oh, we'd all be dead.
It would
nice. Yeah. So I was, like, I mean, when I go on these, like, weekend jams, like, up in San Francisco,
yeah.
I trained for, like, 3.5 days straight, and by the last day, I was just dead. I was just walking around like a zombie. And,
yeah.
Thinking, like, man, in the desert for a week, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. But,
yeah. So what we're thinking is, the first day we get there, and this is if we can sort out our budget issues, which... Mm-hmm. What we're thinking is the first day we wouldn't even do anything. It'd be like, guys, if you want to muck around, do your own thing, but we're not asking you to do anything the first day.
Yeah.
Get used to this place, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'll give everyone cheap disposable cameras. Just go explore, take photos of interesting things. Mm-hmm. Let's come together for dinner and let's talk about some of the spots we found and think about how we're going to actually do this the first day. And we're probably only going to go, like, maybe as a group,
mm-hmm.
we'll go and we'll get, you know, one or two people that really want to session something specific,
mm-hmm.
and we'll just film that thing. We'll take a break, right?
Right.
Relax, cool off a little bit, mm-hmm. and we'll be working sort of with the sun, sometimes against the sun,
yeah.
To find the right spots when they have the right kind of lighting,
mm-hmm.
and the people are feeling good, and then we'll just go from spot to spot. And cool. as people feel good and as they have something they really want to work on,
mm-hmm.
they'll be able to go through. I think the first day, after everyone's got stuff out, we'll probably plan out, like, what's the stuff you really want to focus on and you really want to
kind of
take
prioritize
in?
Yeah. Those things.
And we'll make sure that we get that while you're fresh
cool.
and feeling good. Okay. And then we can always go to other stuff and muck around. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen either way. Like, I'm just from experience, like, even when I'm telling myself, like, I'm not going to train this day or whatever, like, as soon as I get somewhere, if we're in the car or we stop at a gas station and there's something interesting, you'll see us jumping.
You can't help it. Yeah.
it'll happen. But cool. I've also been, like, trying to work on my stamina in general, like trying to get back into, because when I was doing MMA, I was training 5 days a week,
yeah.
Monday through Friday, and my parkour schedule has been off and on the last 5 years, and I'm getting back to where I'm at, like 4 days a week, like 2 days on, 2 days off, but I'm trying to get back up to that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always like a continuous goal, is to extend, like, the amount of time I can train, the amount of time I can train in succession, and whatnot, the amount of energy I can expend. So,
yeah. Well, I love your intensity, man. It's very obvious in the very short videos I've seen. It's like, ooh, there's an explosion going on right there.
Yeah, most of what I train is like the explosive movement. I did a lot of plyometric training for MMA, so all of the parkour stuff that I do is like usually explosive. Single or like a couple motions like put together.
Yeah.
But that was really, that's also a weakness for me because I spend a whole bunch of energy really quickly. And, so I've been working on being able to do longer runs. Like I'll plan out a run and I'll get like halfway through it. And I realized I didn't really plan out anything. I just knew that I was going to keep going and I'm already tired. And so it's a different obstacle, just being able to continue thinking clearly and being able to continue moving smoothly as your body gets tired.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been working on, more or less.
Cool.
And yeah, and also getting, I was really sick after I got back from Mexico. I thought I got like cursed or something.
From Montezuma.
Yeah. No, I went and saw these pyramids and I found all these little clay, shards of like pottery that were like thousands of years old. They had paint on them and carvings and stuff, and and it was everywhere. Like, as I was walking, it was just becoming uncovered, and I took, like, some of them and pocketed them, and I found out that was against the law. I was a little worried that maybe I got some kind of curse or something, but, yeah, I was deathly sick for a week after I got back.
Oh.
But I'm good now, and it wasn't contagious.
Thank God, right? Yeah, because otherwise we're fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think two visual styles that'll really be conducive to your philosophy and your style. Is that the right word to use, your style?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I know that people use the word style in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you move, so the type of filming that I'm thinking would be really conducive to that is, there's a couple of things. One is, we call it the context. And the way that the context works is, you have somebody, an athlete, moving through space in slow motion, and you give context to what's about to happen. So imagine a gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a camera from a wide angle that shows you running super slow towards the gap, right? And as you're running towards the gap, the narration comes on and says, this gap is a 15-foot gap, right? Leaving this edge at this many miles an hour, and it goes, dot, 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 right? Right? You know, this much weight will have this much force and velocity, and just basically putting it into context, that's similar to throwing a baseball, you know, this far at this speed. And, you know, when he lands, the landing impact could be, you know, equivalent to this, but because of the way he's going to land, it's actually going to be like dropping a feather on a pillow or something like that, right? So, but it visually puts it into context. So if you're doing a gap, he's, you know, showing like, that's about the size of, you know, not a Honda, not a, and then a bigger car than a, it's about the size of a suburban SUV, you know, and like showing a very basic illustrated version of
things
and putting it in context. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So doing it in context. Another one is what we call the 300 shot. I don't know if you, do you see 300?
Yeah.
Epic movie.
Yeah,
one of the things that they use is this sort of multi-camera setup where they'll have three cameras, one with a far shot, one with a close shot, one with a super tight shot. And what we'll do is we'll sort of film you from far away, like going towards something, and then we'll switch to another camera that's right next to it that has a super tight shot, right? So it actually shows all the different things that are going on with you. And then we'll actually switch to, we have a helmet cam that's looking at your face, right? Cool. And so the way that helmet cam works is, your face is the only thing that stays still, and everything around you is actually what's moving.
Huh.
And so we're able to have like an Iron Man sort of. You see that Iron Man 2 where he's wearing the helmet?
I didn't, but I saw in your email, like you were explaining,
it's
a display type of thing.
Yeah.
See if I
think there was a screenshot of it.
Yeah, you included it.
I just love bringing it up. Yeah, this is it.
So yeah, that's
the Iron Man one, right? And that's ours. So
okay.
Yeah. So we're going to be able to reproduce it exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this is one that you guys compiled from the Iron Man.
So we'll be able to, you know, take your face and basically say, like, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? You know, like, what sort of information should we display? Like, all right, I've got this much of a gap, like confidence meter, you know, like the fear meter, the adrenaline meter, you know, like whatever it is that you're actually feeling, as you're going through it, you know, and then we'll talk about it beforehand. All right, what do you think you're going to be feeling as you're, like, what are you cognizant of? And then after you, we'll talk about, like, you know, what did you feel? Well, actually, we'll visualize that information.
Cool.
As you're doing it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be really interesting. And, you know, a big part of this is to really illustrate the experience of what you're going through. Because it's such an interesting thing, and it's so bizarre for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen similar stuff on, like, sports science.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying as far as...
This will be much more aesthetic versus, you know, they're very scientific.
And, yeah. Cool. Okay.
Cool. All right. So going back. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Having things in context will be cool. One of the things that I really wanted to do was play around with spaces.
I'm sorry. I have to save my medicine really quick.
You
keep talking.
By all means. So this idea of spaces. So like a room, right, is a room. But what can you do in a room? Like, do you need to have a huge open space to interact with, you know, a space creatively? You know, and if you are interacting with a room, you know, rolling, bouncing off walls, etc., wouldn't it be interesting if we're filming, right? And as somebody's interacting with a room, they could maybe roll, and then the camera can move or be, you know, just outside the frame, or the camera can sort of pan past something, and that cuts them off, and they go to another room or another space. And so actually, the person is going from one contained space to another visually, but it's just showing like what you could do in a single room.
So it's the same room,
right?
But you're showing it as if you're going from each.
Right. And so what it will actually look like, it will almost look like you're in a house, and you're going, you know, basically from room to room interacting with different objects, no matter what different rooms we go to.
Right.
Which is really cool.
That sounds neat, yeah.
Let's see. Another interesting one is this aspect of what happens when things don't go to plan, right? So one of the shots in the trailer we have, you know, Paul goes for the scap and he doesn't abort, right? And then he goes for it again and he makes it.
Yeah.
Using different visual effects to be like, all right, you don't know if you're necessarily going to make this 100%. You believe it and you're confident and sometimes you push the limits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just showing, you know, somebody thinking, okay, here's how I want it to work, but then it not going to plan, right? So you can use things like the ghost clone effect, the fireworks, where, you know, you go through some routes and some routes work and some routes don't, you know?
So you show, like the visualization of completing it, and the visualization of not completing it and then having them not complete it. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly. I mean, we'll play around with it editing, but it's the idea that, and we won't ask you, hey, we won't fall on this. It's more,
well, like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's more of, like yeah, setting it up so that, you can actually, the athlete is watching himself do this thing.
Mm.
And he sees himself doing it, and he tries it, and he may or may not land it. But if he doesn't, you know, it's going back and being like, all right, I'm gonna try it again.
Yeah.
You know, and just trying it again. And there's no spoken words from any of the athletes. It's all narrated.
Cool.
Which I think is, it sort of gives breathing room to the visuals,
mm-hmm.
and it's not sort of overwhelming people.
Yeah.
And it makes it actually a lot easier to tell a cohesive story if there's one voice.
And you don't get that, like, what's it called? Spinal Tap effect, where it's like, yo, I mean, our amps go to 11. Just has some, like, somebody just like, you know, there's that stereotypical, like, this is a documentary. Now we're going to interview someone. And it's like just the shot with their frame just sitting here. And it kind of
takes the whole.
It pulls people out of, like the story of what's happening. And now all of a sudden you're just talking to some dude in the room.
Yeah.
And then you're back. It's disjointing. We're trying to create more of a continuous kind of feel to the.
Right.
So
I agree. I think that's definitely better.
One of the coolest shots that we're thinking about is this thing that we call reverse proliferation. So it's like things that proliferate, they grow and expand,
user,
right?
How does parkour to sneak into rogue nations and steal back nuclear weapons?
Yes.
So what I'm thinking about is imagine that you're looking down at maybe a series of things, mm-hmm. like a run. I'm not sure what you call it.
Yeah.
But you're looking down at a run or a combination of things that you want to do, and it's not just one path, it's multiple paths,
mm-hmm.
and you're actually looking at multiple versions of yourself going in reverse, and they're collecting frozen clones until they come to you, and then you decide to go down a specific path.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really neat. I think that would look really cool.
And so whenever we go to a place, think about some of the things we talked about. Think about any visuals that you might like, mm-hmm. and just whatever you see, whatever you want to do, let's collaborate on visualizing it in a really interesting way to help people understand what it is that you're experiencing, both before you're doing these things, while you're doing them, and then afterwards.
Okay.
And
I think one good thing to convey would be how is visualizing the failures.
Yeah.
The majority of the time that I mess up is when I'm focusing on messing up.
Yeah.
In fact, I was at the park. Like a couple days ago, training by myself, and I was just doing precisions on these. They're just like little wooden, they were logs basically with like a rope going through them at the marina. And they were probably, 9 feet apart. And I'd done the precisions before, but this particular day I ran to the marina and I was exhausted. I've been doing a lot of conditioning. And, I kept looking down at the rope where the rope goes through instead of at the top where I was supposed to be landing. And as soon as I jumped, my foot went to the rope. And I mean, I still caught myself. The other foot went on top of the log, but my other foot went down onto the rope. And then I went and did the next one, and I did the same thing. And every time I was looking, I'd look at the top of the log, and then my eye would go down to the rope, and I would jump to the rope, basically. And it was because – and I was explaining this to some new people. And that's the main mistake that everybody makes. Or anytime you make a mistake, it's usually because you're focusing on the gap rather than the landing. A good analogy is like when you're driving in the rain and you lose control of your car. If you want to focus on the clear path where you need to go and your hands will follow.
Yeah.
If you're staring at the car that you're trying to avoid, you're more likely to go into that car. If you're looking at the wall that you're afraid of crashing into, you're more likely to go towards it. You need to keep your eyes on
Where the brain goes, the body follows.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, that would be really good in my mind. I mean, to visualize the failures that way. I mean, imagining doing it wrong, and then actually completing doing it wrong because of that, and then imagining doing it right and accomplishing it.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, that is really one of the main things. Kind of, I don't know if you saw The Peaceful Warrior.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte, he uses a line, something. He tells the boy something about taking out the trash. And he's essentially telling him to stop thinking about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is thinking, thinking about, like, making mistakes and doing it wrong, and to just clear your mind and do it.
Free your mind.
Yeah. And it really is. It really is a sense of freeing your mind. So, and
so the things we're thinking about with the data visualization were things like, if it's a gap, height, width, potential for damage, right? Like, hey, I should really assess this. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thinking about things like immediate danger, but also longevity. Mm-hmm. You know, like, are there any long-term, ramifications of doing this?
I know people who prefer not to think about those things as part of their philosophy. It's just to completely not think about that. But, I mean, that is whenever I approach something, I assess all of that stuff. I think that was one of the original aspects of parkour, as David Bell, the founder, was trying to teach it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, everything that he was taught from his father was from, his father was a French military firefighter.
Really?
And I'll just give you like a little short
rundown. We can dig into it in the podcast too.
Definitely. In fact, you might as well save it for that side.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's fascinating. We're totally fascinated by this whole subject. But it's almost 6 o'clock, and I'm sure you've got.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to lock up the building. But
no worries. But I think we've got a lot done. The last thing I want to do in the last few minutes we have is, do you have another 5 minutes?
Yeah. No, I don't need to rush you or anything. I can take our time.
So the two things that I really would love to do while we've got you here is talk about two types of locations, places that you personally have on lockdown, like places where you know you can go, you can have a great time, you can demonstrate your philosophy, your style, the way that you move and interact with spaces.
Okay.
So places you have on lockdown, places that you really, really want to go to within a couple hundred miles.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So what are the places you've got on lockdown?
Well, Balboa Park, definitely. I've trained there more than any other. I'd also have to say the roof of this building. This rooftop has been my, it's been like my, I don't know what to call it. It's like where I started training. Every time I go up there, it's like my home territory, I guess.
Yeah.
I'd really like to train at a place with a lot of trees, some kind of place, because as a kid, when I was getting into parkour, when I was a child and I was getting into movement, climbing trees and climbing rocks and just being in natural environments was one of the big things that I loved to do, and I feel like I still have like a big aptitude for that.
Have you been to Chatsworth Park?
I'm not sure. That name sounds familiar.
So we were told about it by Lonnie, and the way that he describes it...
I'm Lonnie. It's okay.
The way that you describe it, the way that Jacob describes it, he says it's basically like a sort of a short hike or a long run, basically, where there's a lot of rocks and trees where you just run down as fast as you can, you start interacting with things.
Okay.
Is that the kind of place you're thinking, or are you thinking like standalone trees?
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds, I'd have to see pictures or whatever, but.
Yeah, just got a little bit.
Yeah, anything like, trail running, like I love doing trail running. Like when I was younger, I used to run along the rocks of the marina.
Yeah.
I was trying to do that the other day, and I'm not nearly as good as it. I'm sure I'm gonna twist my ankle, so I'm gonna go a little slower, but.
Yeah.
I could just go to any location really and find something to do.
Yeah.
Ideally like something with a lot of trees or just wilderness, natural environment.
Okay.
Cool.
So the places you have unlocked, Balboa, roof of the building, UCLA.
Yeah, I've been to UCLA a lot.
You feel pretty good about that?
Yeah, I could definitely train there. I went to the Tempest Gym on the way up to San Francisco.
How is that?
It's really cool. I was kind of surprised. I was expecting there to be more people there who had been training longer, or I didn't recognize any of the people that I was there, And, I really felt like within the 2 hours that I was there, like I accomplished like everything that I wanted to do more. And, it's cool. It's like, it's a neat place.
There's a good chance that we'll be able to film there pretty extensively. So
awesome.
So unofficially, Roscoe is a green light. He's good to go. Cool. We don't know if his schedule's gonna allow it. He's in Russia, Germany, Russia.
Wow. Eastern Europe right now.
Yeah, we kept missing each other. We were in like similar countries, but at the wrong time. So we were he was going to Seattle right as we were leaving Seattle and vice versa. And yeah, so.
Okay.
So it looks like it's good. One of our backers for a large amount is Paul Darnell. So it looks like Tempest is collaborating with us. We still need to figure out
Is Paul Darnell going to be performing, or is he? He's just backer. Okay, cool. Yeah,
but it's still really neat.
Yeah,
yeah. And so Roscoe should be joining us. So it looks like we should be able to lock down the facility for a night or two.
Cool.
Which would be really cool. So we'll probably go there at night when there's just us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, yeah. When I was there was a ton of people. I mean, it was still fun, but it'd be a lot cooler to have like the gym to ourselves.
So. It'll just be our athletes. So like, you know, in theory, we'll have the run of the place.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be really cool.
And we can actually set up our shots. We'll have lighting kits. And
yes. I'm glad I got to go there beforehand to kind of like play around and stuff. So.
And you feel good. That's the kind of place we can showcase.
Yeah. It's really neat because, you feel like you're in a gym because it is a gym, like it's got the padded floors and there's pads and mats and stuff, but, there's also a bunch of walls and concrete and rails and, so even when you're doing stuff on the concrete, like you would be outdoors, you still have the sort of sense of security like you're in a gym. So I felt like, I don't know. It's kind of good and bad. I feel like they're kind of setting themselves up for liability. Because of the majority of the people who I saw training there were a lot younger and inexperienced, and the people working there were really stressed out. Like we showed up and they had just had a serious injury, and the ambulance was showing up. So,
we were filmed there before it closes.
Well, that's how it was at skate parks. You know, skate parks, someone's always breaking an arm or breaking a leg. And,
now they have like insurance for that stuff.
Yeah. So, I know you've got to run, so just I'll try to speed it up a little bit. So, Balboa Park, Roofa Building, UCLA, Tempest Gym, any other places nearby that you really just think are like, they really are ideal for you?
I don't know. Well, I train a lot at the marina by my house in Chula Vista.
Yeah.
And, it's not the most interesting. There's a lot of trees there that are really cool for climbing. Yeah. That's really it that's there.
Yeah. Tell me about more of the places that you really want to go. What was that one place that you went, you filmed with? You filmed with a couple of people and Paul Whitecotton, and he tried to do this insane, I think it was like a gainer. No, it was like
that one park.
Flip or something. Yeah, what is that place?
I think it was called Presidio Park. Or
Presidio, that sounds familiar.
I don't remember the name of the park, but it's in like San Marcos.
Okay.
And I can't remember the name of it. We were in the area and somebody had found it recently. I think Josh Hill had found it. And he was like, yeah, let's go over there. So.
Do you feel good about that place?
Yeah, I'd love to go back there.
That looks so cool.
I did a gap jump. You probably saw in that video, and I don't think they really conveyed the distance very well from the video.
It was massive. No, I saw it was like.
But I think that would look pretty cool.
Plus, if we're actually like, this is a 20-foot gap,
right? So that you can compare it. Yeah.
That's the size of the
SUV. And the jump that I did before it was actually a lot bigger than the one I got on film. I did it from like a lower place, but I got more distance. So I know that I could do a bigger jump. I was just really like.
Brilliant. Any other places that you really want to go to?
I don't know.
What's like on your wish list? Go all the way up to Seattle. Go up to Vancouver if you want.
Well, dang.
Do you want to do some thinking on it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really limited, like there's spots like even around downtown, like the Bank of America building over here is really awesome.
Yeah.
But the security there has run us off every time I've gone over there.
Maybe we can get a filming agreement with them.
Because that built the whole structure there is really neat. I know Paul would like to train there too.
Yeah.
I don't know, Petco Park looks awesome, but I've never even they wouldn't let me anywhere near there, but yeah. I mean, maybe if you guys were, they actually, I got invited to go there for some kind of event, through Flipforce, or not Flipforce, one of the other gyms said that they're trying to do some kind of event there, and they want, but we would have to pay to go be part of it, so I didn't respond to them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that's just an idea. It yeah. looks like a cool place. SDSU is a really good campus. I don't know, there isn't like, it's kind of spread out.
Oh, that's fine, yeah, yeah. We'll sort it out. No, this is
those
great.
Just ideas, yeah. like, just brainstorming, so.
No, this is fantastic, and if any more stuff comes to you, just let me know.
Okay.
So, this is a great start. This is exactly what we wanted to do. And we've talked about the visual style, about collaborating, and we've got some great locations plotted out. So we're just going to be doing this with everyone else while we're in town.
Awesome.
And then we'll actually put together a filming schedule. We'll let everybody know what the final details are. Ideally, by the end of the week. So
okay.
No promises, but we're going to try. We'll kind of go from there.
Cool.
All right. And so we finished right on time. It's 5:58.
Awesome. All right.
Thank you, man.
I'm excited.
Pleasure, man.